This message comes from NPR sponsor, Grammarly. Get to the point faster and accomplish more with Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/podcasts to sign up for a free account. And when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium, get 20% off for being an NPR listener. That's grammarly.com/podcasts.
Hello, everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hey, everybody. This is Lisa and Nancy. And guess what? We're in a barrel room.
Yeah, that figures.
That's where we belong. No, we're in the barrel room, and we're at Courtyard Vineyard. And this is a wonderful winery in the Lake Erie area in Pennsylvania. Is it Lake Erie Wine Country? Is that what it is?
It is. And Lake Erie is an official approved viticultural area by the federal government. So it's an official AVA.
So you have a purple stamp? Yes. Okay. So, everyone, it's Courtyard Winery, and this is how it all started. We came out, and we're staying at the Spencer House Bed and Breakfast in Erie, Pennsylvania, on Millionaire's Row, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got Steve and Lisa here, another good Lisa, right? But you got us hooked up, Steve, with all these amazing adventures, and one of them, because you said to me on the phone, "Well, you know, I know you're coming to do Presque Isle State Park." Did I pronounce that?
Yes, you did.
And coming to check out the B&B and the history of the B&B. But you know, we have wine country. Do you like wine? Like, how do you know? I don't know.
Why did I ask?
And you know, when you called and talked to us, we were having wine in a park.
Yeah. Oh, were you?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You were at Brandywine Park.
We're not allowed to have wine there.
But
anyway, we had a Portovino moment as we were talking with you. But anyhow, that's why I had a good giggle. But thank you for connecting us here with Courtyard Winery. I keep saying vineyard, but you took us through vineyards all day long. Yes. So we've got Randy and his wife, Laura, here, who run and own the winery. So this area is 23 wineries?
There are 23 wineries located right close to the shore of Lake Erie. It transitions from Pennsylvania into New York State over about 40 miles.
What's interesting today, you took us all over in the vineyards, so a lot of them are Concord grapes for Welch's, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, but looking out, you look one direction and it's just miles of vineyard and just this beautiful natural setting and greenery and trees and forest, and you look out the other way and you can see the lake. I mean, this is pretty unique.
And the grapes are here all because of Lake Erie.
Okay. So that's because of the climate that it's formed in the soil?
The interaction between the lake and the climate, and the fact that we're basically farming on old lake bottom soils from possibly 10 million years ago, has given us nice rich soils, as well as the weather impacts from the lake, preventing spring frosts, giving us cool nights this time of year, which speeds the ripening process. And it's just a wonderful little niche area right across the south shore of Lake Erie.
Okay. So I want everyone to see your websites while we're talking. So give everyone your website.
Sure. It's just very simple. Courtyardwinery.com.
And they have a beautiful courtyard with flowers and fountains that turns into a harvest area, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's harvest time. And then yours?
SpencerHouseBNB.com.
See, I'm just used to pulling you guys all up, right? It's like, it's very cool. Yeah. So I think it's really important that we have some wine, because we've been talking wine with you for a while, and now Nancy and I are very thirsty.
Yes, we are.
I know everybody else is, too. So let's start with, hey, salute, everybody.
Salute.
Cheers.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having us here.
Cheers. Yes.
Cheers to you all.
Cheers.
Cheers to success in the weird world that we're in, being able to do this, but I know I'm starting with the Soleil Blanc.
That's right.
So what is this? Is
so
a blend.
Soleil Blanc is a wine that we make using primarily Geisenheim grapes, which is a German hybrid. Has a very nice citrus note to it. It's very clean and crisp, a little bit higher acidity, which makes it wonderfully refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Now, who else is having Soleil?
Me and Steve.
You both are having it too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Nancy, you're being the odd one out.
Not really.
Not again.
No, I know. She veered off. No, she's having, you're having the Chardonnay.
Chardonnay, which is really good. I'm liking this a lot.
Yeah. Mm. Is this the one that has to do with Cornell?
Sure. Chardonnay is a hybrid grape that was developed by Cornell University. It's a hybrid of Chardonnay. And it was basically their goal was to take Chardonnay and perhaps find a hybrid of it that would do very well in our soil and our climate here on the south shore of Lake Erie. So we do this in an un-oaked Chardonnay style. Very clean, crisp, and fresh. Fruit forward, mid-palate.
I want to try yours, Ian, so.
I'm fevering.
I don't like to share.
Well, I'm fevering.
I know. It's good, huh?
I really like this one.
Yeah,
it's good. It's a little smoother sweet-wise. Seems a little sweeter to me.
It's very fruity, so it definitely, you know, your palate is impacted by fruit and sweetness together, so the two of them can interact to make a wine maybe taste a little more than it would, a little more sweet than it would test in a lab.
So they're both un-oaked.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They've been un-oaked.
That's good. Now I'd like to try yours.
Why?
See, she don't want to share.
See, no, why? It's really good.
Because I can.
I know. So, when you think of Chardonnay, so what happens with these grapes? Now, do they go out of state with Cornell?
Cornell University developed the hybrid, and as we plant a vineyard of Chardonnay, we pay Cornell a royalty for each plant that we plant. That's how they recoup some of their development costs for a new variety of grapes.
Huh. This is all different. So it's kind of like, it seems everything is very cooperative here. You're talking about that with Welch's grapes, mm-hmm. that you grow some of the grapes for them too?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Mm-hmm. Which means you're all connected farmer-wise out mm-hmm. here? And
yeah, it's definitely a major grape-growing area. There's 10,000 acres of grapes. There's 30 different varieties that are grown here. Along the south shore of Lake Erie. But predominantly, 80% of those grapes are Concord grapes that go to Welch's. The other 20% is that 29 other varieties of grapes that are go to all the different wineries.
Hmm. So now you have a package at the B&B.
Yes.
Yeah, what happens? Is a bottle of wine involved?
Yes, you can get wine and chocolate is one of the packages. You could also get a wine tour package, but Chardonnay actually is one of our wines that we offer that people can select as our dry white offering. So,
Very cool.
Yeah.
So people can get this at the B&B too, Lisa, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, very cool. So just right there in their room for celebrations.
Right.
And
yep.
Wow.
As soon as they open the door when they check in, the wine and the chocolate is sitting right there for them, and they're ready. Or if they have a wine tour package, the other parts of the wine tour package are there for them with a bottle of wine and some wine glasses and so forth. So yeah.
Wow. So now, what would you pair with the Soleil, like food wise? She's the chef this morning. I'm going to tell you, this breakfast was good. We wolfed that down. I'm telling you.
No, they did.
Yeah. We picked out. But
I'm not good at pairing. So
you don't do the pairing. So she's a breakfast chef.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I believe she's the first female chef, that we've had on this part of the tour. All the other B&B, it was the men who.
No. Because of Ruth.
Oh yeah,
Ruth. Are you kidding?
That's right.
Men, no. We've had some female chefs in there, but most of the time, for some reason, it's the guys. Yeah,
it's the guys.
So between the two of you, that's the Laura and Randy in the owning a winery together, and this is a family business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does what? What do you do, Laura? What's your side?
My responsibilities are more towards the tasting room and the merchandise and just overseeing, making sure things are running smoothly with our weekends because they're very busy. Payroll, making sure our employees get paid.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah.
So you open the wine at that point? I would want the head taster, or does everybody play a role in tasting here?
Well, certainly when we come out with a new wine, the first people that I engage are our tasting room staff and of course, my wife. We bounce ideas off of our staff. We are often setting up bench trials and trying a new blend or a new combination that will first go to our staff for opinions, because they're very familiar with our wines and know lots about grapes and know also a lot about what our customers prefer.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're our biggest supporters too, mm-hmm. our employees. They really are all great.
You know, it's been interesting with this COVID time. I know it impacts restaurants, B&Bs, right? And that's how we knew about you guys, is through this Still In Business campaign. Thank you, Maria, out there. Yeah. Maria Coder, I got to give her a shout out. But for wineries, you know, we've been interviewing wineries and everyone's been doing something differently. Some of, you know, they weren't able to have their regular tastings at all. They weren't allowed to have their music anymore, but they could do curbside, you know, pickup. Mm-hmm. In some states, if you had a restaurant and you made cocktails, you would have to-go cups with cocktails. Mm-hmm. I thought that was quite nice, and I hope it's something that stays. But I'm just saying.
Sure.
Why not? But for you guys, were you able to stay doing that kind of thing, the curbside delivery?
Certainly when this started, we didn't change our hours. We just changed our method of operating. And certainly the first big change was curbside only. Call in for takeout. We had a series of road signs that described, yes, we're open. Call in. We'll bring it out to outside for you. And then as the rules change, we sit down and figure out what we need to do to accommodate the new set of guidelines. And we make changes and make it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we have not changed our hours. We're open 10 to 6 daily and noon to 5 on Sundays. We have not changed our hours the entire time. We've just changed our procedures.
Okay. And then, Laura, in regards to, you know, I know you're doing the tasting room and obviously the wine sales. Are you also selling online for folks? Because our audience is all over and we want them to have as much fun as we are.
Exactly. That's where we saw a big shift when things closed. I mean, although we were still open, people were more comfortable with ordering online. So our online sales have done very well. Mm-hmm. And we think that that's probably going to continue for a little while longer, mm-hmm. hopefully. Mm-hmm. But yes, all of our wines are available online. Just go on to courtyardwinery.com and look at the wines. And we're doing a really nice special right now. It's for a case of wine, 12 bottles, you select whatever you want, and it's $3 for shipping. So
that's a big
wine.
Deal.
It is.
When does that end? Because I want to make sure, because people will listen to this anytime. So
we're continuing with it because it's a way that we're getting our wines to our customers. Right. So for as long as we foresee that this is, you know, continuing with COVID-19, I think we'll continue the special. Mm-hmm. And then for 6 to 11 bottles, it's $8 shipping.
That's not bad
so,
at all.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be possible to put together, you know, those little tiny bottles that you get on airplanes?
Dinkies.
The 375.
The little tiny bottles.
Tiny.
I don't know. I was thinking of having a home wine tasting kit. Uh-huh. So you could have 6 little bottles of in a
I still don't want a dinky.
And then they, for people who haven't tasted your wines, mm-hmm. would be able to taste them and then order.
I think that's a great idea.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better? You really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
And we're trying to think of special packages that will be available on our website for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good idea.
Well, you have Zoom parties or Facebook parties with your wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this a lot. Here we go. I'm out.
Oh, well, you're out of that one. Time to move to the next one.
I like it. I like it. It's got a little kick to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's like really just coming right from that grape. It's just like being. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. And does it do well here because the weather is similar to Germany or?
Yes, we certainly look for varietals that do well in that part of the world, Germany, Austria, Alsace region of France. Those are areas that are not that different in climate from our growing conditions here on the South Shore of Lake Erie. So we find that varieties that do well there are very good candidates to experiment with here. Some of them are not well known, like that Geisenheim grape. But we're having great success with trying new things and producing some great ones.
Geisenheim. I'm learning my new word. Okay, so I want to go on to the next one. Vignolis.
Sure. And that is a hybrid that was developed by a combination of a couple of universities back in the late 70s, early 80s. It was originally called Ravat, and at some point along the line decided that wasn't very marketable, and they changed the name to the Vignoles. And so this makes a very fruit-forward wine. And very refreshing, not as high in acidity, but certainly very food friendly with cheeses and so forth.
Mm. Cheers. Ooh. I'm liking. This is, I can totally taste the apricot. What are you doing?
I'm drinking the dry Riesling.
Oh,
it's very, very close to South Africa.
Oh, you like
it? Do you
it?
Like it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it good? Mm-hmm.
It's really good. I feel like home.
Oh,
not that South Africa is my home, but it was for a long, long time.
Hey, Mary Jo from Presque Isle State Park.
This is good.
She's helping us with interviews, setting up interviews with naturalists and everything. She made me promise that we would toast to her and her grandma that she brings out here.
Okay.
Was her mom or grandma? I'm going to get it wrong. Sorry, Mary Jo, but we're toasting to you both.
Toasting.
She says they come here every Sunday.
Oh.
And sit on the patio, and they have their wine and social distance and enjoy themselves. So,
wow.
So cheers to you, Mary Jo. I kept my promise. She said that's her favorite, is the dry Riesling.
Mm. It's really good.
It is.
I know you
good.
Want to taste some.
I do.
No, she's not going to let you. As much as it's that good.
Did you see that? I'm all like, yes.
It makes her feel like home. She doesn't want to give that up.
No. Ooh, that is. See? Does South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that lots of honey?
It just took me way across the world here.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Randy did a good job with that.
So, how long have you been doing the wines? Because I know you've done the grapes for a while, but the wines.
Sure. We started out as just grape growers, and then we're home winemakers initially. And then when we transitioned to making it a commercial operation, you know, I took a lot of online classes, mainly from UC Davis in California, and got much more involved in the details and the laboratory experiments and so forth necessary to really control the quality and make really good wine. And so we also focus on, for example, the dry Riesling is from our own estate vineyards, which gives us control from the day the grapes are planted in the ground all the way through the care and the meticulous nature that we attend to our vineyards and control the light exposure. We control everything about the growing of those grapes. And it's really different with estate wines because you do have that control, and your goal is to sell it in the bottle, not sell it by the ton of grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a different focus, and it works really well for us.
Mm, I like this. How are you enjoying yours? Do you have both the same, or?
No, I have the different ones. I've tried both. Yes, they're very good.
Yeah?
You know, I'm not a dry wine drinker, but those two actually weren't too bad. Yes.
See? Yeah. What are you enjoying, Lisa?
I have two cups down. I like the dry.
This party's starting to rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You like the dry.
Yeah, I like the dry. He's more of the sweet.
Wow. Okay. So you both have to get a bottle each when you drink wine. It's like she has hers.
And then when mine's empty, I go to his.
Oh, you go, girl.
She'll drink both.
So this is getting to be like the Billy Joel song, bottle of wine, bottle of red.
Yeah.
But I'm taking a both.
Yeah.
I like this. All right. All right. So, well, no, I'm digging this. So
Do you have a favorite that you do?
Well, I certainly like the Chardonnay in the summertime. I think Laura and I really like our dry whites. You know, a nice cold glass of wine in the summertime on a warm evening is wonderful. Mm. Probably right now, I would say my favorite is probably one of the reds that we've got on a list coming up, and that is Teraldigo.
Yay!
Which is a variety that originated in the very northern part of Italy, just near the Italian Alps. And those grapes are now grown within 2 miles of the winery here. And it's not an estate vineyard, but we work very closely with a couple different growers who are doing an excellent job, putting a lot of attention, especially with dry reds are very important. A lot of cultural steps necessary to get the best possible attributes in that and the vines and so forth. And so Teraldigo is one I'm especially proud of right now.
You know what I love about this? Because it's like you've got this blend of cultures in your winery. Mm-hmm. And today Nancy and I spent time at the History Center, which you can, is just a few steps down from the Spencer House, Bed and Breakfast. Got to give you a shout out there. that mansion, I mean, I'm sitting there, that's some craziness in there. That is, you know, talk about Millionaire's Row.
Yeah.
I mean, your B&B, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I just want to stay all day and look at each corner because there's something so ornate. Mm-hmm. But at the History Center today, they have a display showing, it's kind of this, the ethnic room, right? Mm-hmm. And all the different, you know, representing all the different cultures that moved to the area. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to see, and I think that's something important for, we start to understand the rest of the world through wine. So thank you for this. This is cool. It's cool. It is true. I mean, it's a way of finding
that's how common, she got through school.
Common ground through the soil and climate, right? Sure. But we start to learn about other cultures through wine. Sure.
It's certainly true that in studying wines, you really study cultures. You study all kinds of different areas of the world, and it's just a wonderful way to experience a lot of different things.
I'm really... getting attached to my vignoles. I'm just saying, as we're sitting here talking, I'm like, I'm really digging into this.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's very flavorful, isn't it?
Yeah, it just, it kind of slowly sneaks in and just keeps, yeah, this is, I'm always excited when we find good white wines. Mm-hmm. I just have always had a hard time doing it, but lately, I think white wines have changed, or maybe me, I don't know. But Laura, what's one of your favorites?
Let's see. I think I'd probably agree with Randy. I really like the Chardonnay. But I really like the dry Riesling, too, and I'm not a Riesling person. I think that dry Riesling, just lots of Riesling characteristics come out with our dry Riesling. It's very good.
I think the dry Riesling would be good for holidays, too.
Oh, yeah. Especially Thanksgiving.
I was going to say the dry rosé. Is that something that people do for Thanksgiving with turkey?
Sure.
Yeah.
We move a lot of wine for the holidays, for sure. Big family dinners and so forth is a good time to enjoy wine together.
We're stealing each other's wine. Sorry. This is a mother-daughter issue.
Yes.
But you guys do the same
no
thing.
No fighting at the table now.
Do you ever steal her wine?
No.
Not usually.
She steals the fullest cup.
I have been stealing wine for many years.
So
I used to go out at parties and steal the ends of glasses. I'll go, oh, let me go refresh your glass. And Nancy thought, oh, she's being a nice daughter. And,
yeah, right.
You know, I'd go in, it wasn't just me, like all the kids would go, we'll go refresh the drinks and take swigs, bring it out. And we kept doing it. And then there's times when I thought that I could steal some of her white wine and put Sprite or water in there.
I got into
that's when you get grounded, and then you're like, well, how do I sneak into the liquor cabinet next? I'm bored. Anyway, well, it was good. Fine.
I know. All those things you thought you got away with.
I know. Okay, so we get to go on to the Teraldigo.
Sounds great.
It was interesting because that's something, the first time we've had Teraldigo was in the Gold Country in California outside Yosemite in Jamestown. And the family had brought like the rootstock from Italy because he was from Italy. Mm-hmm. And we took us hours to figure out how to say Teraldigo. And Tempranillo. And the Tempranillo was a new thing for us too. Mm-hmm. So now you're bringing in Italy. So that is another cultural highlight, but I'm going in.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of Italian wines that are very good, and I think this is an example of something a little out of the ordinary, but it's very robust. It is unique. It has a flavor profile all its own, but all of our dry reds are aged in oak barrels, mostly French oak, and it has that impact as well, which really rounds it out and softens the tannins.
This is really good. Oh, you're on something else.
Something different.
She's doing the Cab Franc.
Yes.
How do you like that?
I like it a lot.
Give me.
That wasn't even a please. That was just give me.
You see how letters went right out the window?
How rude.
I don't have COVID. I just start getting coughs because I'm like, you're getting silly. Come on. Please.
She's trying to get a sip.
Give over your
sip. I don't know. Okay.
See?
Yeah, sorry. We've got into child mode. Sorry.
Really?
We get excited. There's certain things. Plants, music, wine. And that's animals. It. That's... I don't know. I want both.
They're both really good.
This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's going to be hard when people come in to, like, help them decide what they may want to try. So... this is an interesting thing, Laura, what you've done in the tasting room. You have, like, different... and I think this is very cool now, especially with social distancing. Mm-hmm. You have different drinking stations.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
But I think that we really listen to what the customer wants, I think, and try to put together their boards or their flights according to what they...
She drank my wine.
Uh-oh.
This is why you have to have... oh, no, she didn't. Sorry. Sorry. Behave yourself. No, okay, but yeah, carry on.
Yeah, but we do have a lot of different options, and so we try and listen to what it is that the customer likes, whether it's sweet or dry, red or white, and try and help them to understand what we have to offer to put together what we hope they like for their tastings.
And I consider it a compliment when somebody who really likes dry wines has a hard time deciding. That means there's more than one that's really good. And, you know, everybody has different perceptions. And so, we're all different people and have different nuances in terms of our senses.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better? You really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
And so it's really fun to please people who are really fond of dry wines and maybe have a hard time deciding because there's lots of good things.
Well, what about the person that has never really gotten into wine? And maybe you've been to some wine party and it comes out of like a, one of those, those brand boxes that maybe that's all they know about wine, right? Or maybe it's a frat party and or whatever, I don't know. You know what I mean? There's wine out there and maybe that's your first experience. It could happen, like as a kid, I didn't like coffee. And then next thing you know, it's like, well, what kind of coffee? Well, I mean like a teenager, but then it totally has changed. But you change, your palate changes through the years. And so the beginning, sometimes you could have a negative experience or not know. Mm-hmm. So what happens with that?
Sure. And certainly one of the advantages of going to a winery versus going into a liquor store or a wine store is you really do get to sample a portfolio of wines and help you figure out what it is your preferences are. So going to a winery is a really wonderful experience, and all that you can experience there and help sort those things out, as well as ask questions, because... people who are staff in a winery certainly know a lot about those wines and can answer questions as well.
I love it because out here you can see all the vineyards, and you start to think about the process. And, you know, going out with you today, just, you know, every time we chat with a winemaker, and just you really understand how much work goes into that one bottle. And then it's gone. I mean, that just sucks. That's the worst thing about wine, is you find a really good wine and it's gone. Yeah. And we travel full time, so it's like it's really hard to hang on to that. Yeah. You know, nothing sticks around. But that part, the process, because you're doing the vineyard, right? And you're growing the grapes. Out here, you get the big snow and the big cold, and don't you get worried, like, are they going to freeze?
Well, certainly in the wintertime, we do get plenty of snow. It's one of the other tremendous lake effects that happens here. You know, the grapes are here because of the lake and the impact it has in the summer, but those winter lake effects can bring us a lot of snow, which when the vines are dormant, the snow doesn't hurt anything. In fact, it helps build up that water bank in the soil that gets us through the dry spells in the summertime. So snow is not a problem. Absolute cold temperatures in the wintertime can be an issue with some varieties. Some varieties are more tolerant than other varieties. And so we do have to pay attention to that and try to make sure we don't select varieties that are a little too, like, we can't grow Zinfandel here because Zinfandel is very winter sensitive. But there's plenty of varieties and plenty of options on varieties that can easily survive our temperature ranges.
When you bring something in new to try, do you do like a small lot, and or do you put like a few in, because does a microclimate affect that?
Sure. We do, but we really rely on both Penn State and Cornell Universities. They both have research labs and do lots of variety trials, and they have these summer meetings at the lab where they'll discuss all of those different varieties and which ones are doing better, which ones had less winter damage, and so forth. So really gives us a lot of guidance as to what can do well here.
And then do all the wineries work together in that way too?
Well, certainly, yes. Most people who produce grapes, whether they're just a grower or whether they have a winery, they also sell grapes to other wineries as well. So there's a lot of cooperative efforts that happen between wineries and between growers and wineries.
Wow, that's cool.
But the wine's always going to be different.
Excuse me.
You know, depending on the winery, depending, like, a Tempranillo here is not maybe going to taste the same
Absolutely.
As a Tempranillo somewhere else. So, I mean, just drink more.
Well, the French have a word for that, and that is the expression of terroir, which is the vine's ability to express its climate and soil. And certainly a Cabernet Sauvignon that's grown here, if you take that exact same vine and move it to Michigan, move it to Oregon, move it to Napa Valley, that same vine will produce wines that do not taste the same. Because that vine's ability to extract from the soil and extract from the climate and produce those nuances relative to that area.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, and then here you go through all these processes and you get, now what's happening? You're about to harvest, right? So you were saying your courtyard, where are all the flowers going to go?
Yeah, our big patio, which is wonderful right now with lots of flowers and the fountain, all those things will kind of be shifted off toward the backside of our property. Mm-hmm. We'll still try to create the same environment.
Okay, good.
But that big patio is also our grape receiving area. So it will transform next week from patio to grape receiving crush pad.
So Laura, can guests still come in here for wine tasting while crush padding is going on?
I think so. I think we're going to try and do that for everybody. We'll move the tables, the flower boxes, everything just a little ways away from the patio. And I think it'll be good because they can kind of watch what's happening while they're sitting at their tables.
That's I think, you know, because there's a harvest, so here it all comes in, and then from there you've got these giant tanks. These big silver, some of them I'm like, I don't even know if I can get it on my camera, you know. It's like the sequoias of, you know, winemaking in there. But so then it goes in there, right? There's there's that interesting machine you have that squeezes and tosses them around.
The process is different depending on wine style and variety. Most white grapes will receive, they go through the receiving process of crushing, destemming, and then go directly to press. And then that grape juice at that point is put into tanks for the next steps. Mm-hmm. You know, red grapes are quite different. You know, the color of red wines comes exclusively from the skin of the grapes. And so you want to have lots of skin contact with the red grapes. So we receive the red grapes, and they go through their same crush and destem, but we leave the skins with the red grapes during the fermentation process. That's what extracts the colors, the tannins, and so forth that are really necessary for good red wines.
Wow. Now, what happens with the grapes for your ice wine?
Ice wine is a totally different process. Those will be the last grapes we receive, and it may be all the way till December when the temperatures are cold enough. Typically, we like to press grapes for ice wine between 17 and 19 degrees. At that point, the water is really tied up as ice, and when you press those grapes, you're really extracting just fruit essence and sugars. Typically, when we press a ton of grapes, we'll get about 180, 190 gallons of grape juice from a ton of grapes. When we press a ton of grapes that are frozen for ice wine, we're only going to get about 40 gallons. So it's a totally different process. It's a very small yield in terms of yield per ton. So one of the reasons why ice wines are so expensive as well.
Wow. This is, to me, it's a whole different process.
Yeah, I have a question about tannins.
Sure.
If you could explain that word, because we've heard different explanations, but I'm kind of thinking that when somebody first starts drinking wine, that the tannins might be the factor that makes them like, I only like this kind of wine, I only like that kind of wine. Yeah, am I right about that?
Sure. Tannins are an important, primarily are expressed in red wines. The tannins, there is grape seed tannins, there's skin tannins, and in the red wine making process, when we put those wines into an oak barrel, there's also oak tannins that are extracted into the wine. So tannins are a natural antioxidant. They are.
We like that. Oh, they're good for your skin.
Yes. And red wines have a lot of heart healthy benefits that are all part of that process. You know, the resveratrol is another compound that is extracted from the grape skins that contributes significantly to heart health. And that is predominantly in red grapes versus white grapes because of that skin contact time that's associated with the red wine and those grape processing techniques.
Dr. Jackie Ubani, yes. Our heart expert, she's a cardiologist, and especially for women. She comes on our show all the time, and every show warns us about wine in a good way because she loves wine. She loves her wine. But she said, this is good news. Women, you can now go from having 4 ounces to 5 ounces a day, which we're not doing very good with. Every time she comes on the show, we get in trouble. And because we're like, how can you just have that a day? Like, it doesn't work. But she talks about the benefits of red wine and that it's good for women and men to have red wine. It's really healthy for your heart. So
that's right.
Drink up. But I also wanted to say, like, you've got this whole process coming through, and then you've got the barrels in here, right here. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how important it is in regards to what barrel, where does it come from? One comes from France, one comes from here. I mean, the barrel part is also a huge... So basically, every step is really important.
Sure. And the barrel selection process is... It does get very complicated. There are... the primary producers of barrel, or the oak woods that's used for barrels, is France, Hungary, and the United States. Mm-hmm. Is the predominant sources of oak barrels. So there's lots of experiments that you can take on regarding the different sources of oak and the different nuances that are... imparted into the wines from those various sources. It's a lifelong learning process. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got some standards that we like to stick with, especially with French oak. French oak has some wonderful softer notes than American oak, and certainly works well with certain grape varieties as well.
Cool.
This is all fascinating to me. It's history, you know, in the making. Mm-hmm. Except for it goes away. Mm-hmm. Do you ever save, like, I mean, it doesn't work, does it?
Well, we do have a library of, yeah. of wines that are past vintages that we try not to steal from.
I know. Yeah. I mean, how do you not? Like,
well, then would you be curious how did the taste has changed over
exactly.
the next?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the most valuable wine collections in the world are a series of wines that are the same wine from the same vineyard, the same producer, but are multiple years, a vertical series of vintages that that can be very valuable wine collections.
Wow. I can tell you a lot about the soil.
Apparently, some of
the climate and the soil.
It's like China.
So I think
some of the
we
best.
Should all get together and drink wine. To talk about climate change.
There you go. Hey, I like this. Hey, okay.
She's all about reasons to drink wine. Yep.
I know. So here we are. Oh, we're at the end. Noray, though, I've been excited to have this. Because I'm into, your notes say dry red, earthy blackberry. I like the earthy ones. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I want earth.
So Noray is one of the varieties, the hybrid varieties that have been developed by Cornell University, and it produces this wonderfully rich, earthy notes, maybe a little bit of licorice mm-hmm. along with that.
This is my baby. This is mine.
She's not sharing that.
There's no way.
No, I'm not sharing this.
What's yours?
No.
What?
Zweigelt.
Oh, I wanted to try that. You gotta let me try that.
See?
Oh, now the tables are turned.
Give me.
She started with it.
I'll hand it.
Lisa saved the day.
Yes.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'll give you a sample.
I'm gonna get there now because now I got. No, just hold on. Oh, the Noray is really. This is now. That's.
It's very dark, very rich, has that nice earthy mid-palate structure.
Ooh.
You like it, Lisa? I gave it to you.
I've got to go this one now. Wait, we're going. What do you got the? Mm-hmm. Say it again. Zweigelt. Zweigelt. Okay.
So Zweigelt is the most commonly planted red grape in Austria. And. Has just over the past maybe 4 or 5 years has been grown in this area.
This is good. I like it. See, but it's got that little ting too. Mm-hmm. I like this. Mm.
Definitely a different flavor profile than the others, but
big difference.
Hey.
You're not getting either of them back now.
She's
got them both.
No. So I want a final question. Mm-hmm. I'll talk wine all day with you guys, but. Come on now. Be nice, Nancy. Went from mom to Nancy real quick. I've had to call her Nancy for so many years because back when she had her magazine in South Africa, there was no hold buttons. It was, yo, mom, you got to call. And that didn't work. So I had to be professional. But so, you know, we like to take our Porto Vino bag around the country. And I need to show this to you, Laura.
Sure,
you'll take it. It's my camera. There.
Okay.
So it has an insulated pocket, and you take 1.75 liters of your favorite beverage, and you pour it into a little wine baggie, like the ones in boxed wines. They give you wine bags. You pour it in there, and you can do it with coffee. And it will, you know, I'm just being good here.
You can do other beverages.
Yes, you can do beer, but it'll only last for an hour. Same as champagne, which we tried, and it worked.
Yeah.
So you've got little baggies, ice baggies, you put in there. And a little spigot pops out the back of your bag. It's got a spigot hole. And so we got a backpack, which I thought was the most ingenious invention in the planet. I know you've got patents and inventions that you have, Randy, but I'm serious. This is cool, right? It's got tote bags. They've got all kinds of things, but the backpack is our friend.
Sounds like a high-tech Boda bag.
Yes. Now, I want it solar-powered, too. That would be really good, right? See, this now.
I have that.
They do have one, but I didn't know. Okay, I'm calling them. Anyway, our whole thing is we travel and we have wine in beautiful places.
Uh-huh.
So when we go to a park, which is what we document, we have our wine, we try and take local sandwiches or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's our living room for that day, or our dining room, and that's pretty cool. So I want to ask each of you, what are you putting in your Porto Vino? Which bottle of wine? Okay. Now, I know we all want to go hang out with each other, but anybody that you would like to have met just to sit and learn from, it could be anybody, really. Take whoever you want. It could be anyone. Like, people... Henry Ford, or whatever, I don't know why he came, Mondavi, whoever, that you want to hang out with for an hour with that bottle of wine, and where would you take that to, just where would you want to go with your wine to have that conversation? Yeah, good one, huh?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah,
I know, I didn't tell you this was coming.
You didn't give me time to...
No, this is a happy, it's just for fun. I mean, so let's start with wine. Let's look at your wine. What wine do you want to go for a walkies with, and where are you going to go? Nancy, you want to start? Get every... pick one. Pick one of your wines.
Oh, this... The wine is the Zweigelt.
You're going to go with the Zweigelt?
Yes. Zweigelt. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So where would you take it?
To the top of Mount Everest.
That's because you just watched that. She just wow. She watched Bombardier Glenn.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's an excellent documentary. We just interviewed.
Yeah,
them.
I think that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. And who would I want to talk to? It would be the person who allowed me to do such a dumb thing.
Oh, come on.
By myself.
No, you can't go.
No. I think I would like to take Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, I know. After that one exhibit,
yes.
You saw the horse?
Yeah, because his mind went in a million directions.
And he has one of the oldest vineyards in the world.
So I think he would be...
like one of the first winemakers.
But his mind worked from here to there. I mean, the art and the writing and... Yeah, he'd talk about a multitasking person.
I wonder if he could put
person.
You in a helicopter to get up to the top of Mount Everest.
That would be smart. Beats walking.
I know.
But, you know, I just think he'd be really interesting to talk
I
to.
I like
you.
That. I like that. That's a good one. Man, Porto Vino's got to go all the way up there. And it comes with its own cup.
I think he would really appreciate the Porto Vino.
I think he would. It's an invention.
Yeah.
All right, Randy.
Keep me going. How come I think of that?
Life is an adventure, and wines have certainly been a part of my lifelong adventure. But I'd have to say, sharing a bottle of Teraldego, which is my favorite, changes seasonally as well as with new wines that we introduce. But my favorite place in person would be with my wife of 33 years. And at Freeport Beach, which was a nice little beach on the south shore of Lake Erie. It's wonderful. We have rich, beautiful sunsets, and we've done that quite a bit.
Okay.
Awesome.
I like that.
That was very nice.
It was.
You know what? The Teraldego is probably on the top of my list, too. Ah. I'd put that in the bag. But I think that Randy and I should go to Italy. And we need to seek out...
She wants a vacation, Randy.
Oh, yes, I see.
We need to seek out a winery and talk to a winemaker that's making Teraldego there in that area.
Oh, you can bring some for them, too.
Yeah.
We need to have them do a suitcase, a wine suitcase.
Yes.
That would be interesting.
So there are my thoughts. How about you?
I love that. That is awesome. So, Lisa...
Well, she introduced me tonight to Captain White, and I like
the
that.
Captain, and that's cool for Lake Erie, right? Because there's a lot of Captain Perry or Commodore Perry and all kinds of,
I'd probably go to the Presque Isle and collect beach glass.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
While sipping wine,
yeah.
In a state park.
They wouldn't be allowed.
And your backpack.
See, what else? You're going to take the wine out, finish the wine, and put the glass in there.
That's it.
I didn't know you got sea glass in there.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, yes. I'll have to show you some when we get back.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. Yeah. I know people were skipping rocks out, and we had a good time. We had a sunset, wine time out there last night, and people were skipping rocks, and I haven't seen people do that ever.
The sun was setting, and as rock would hit, the splash would come up, the sun would come through the water, and we're like, man, it's amazing. I hope you got some of that on film.
I did.
And I also got the model getting her photo taken.
Oh, but that was funny.
And she started off all, look at me, and doing all the poses. And then as the sun went down, really went down, she was rolling in the water and doing the weird, look at me, I'm an animal in the water thing. And and then we're like, okay, it's time to go. Because I did photograph it because it was interesting.
It was funny.
Yeah,
funny.
Sorry, but it was. But everybody does what they want to do. So, Steve, what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to take the First Kiss. It's one of my two favorites that Courtyard makes, and as a new wine drinker, actually. So they introduced me to them, and I'm going to steal a line with Randy. I'm going to take my wife, Lisa, because she was my first kiss as a teenager.
And, really?
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh. Okay, wait. Where?
Now who's
where
getting brownie points? Where's,
come on. I want to know where you... Where was,
it was a church. That's where I met her.
Before or after communion?
She was my first girlfriend and I was her first boyfriend. So.
Oh, wow. 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 So where are you going with this?
Any mountain, anywhere.
Oh, ain't no mountain.
Any mountaintop anywhere, as long as she's with me and I'm in nature where it's nice and quiet, and I just love that type of thing, and I think that'd be very enjoyable.
It's awesome.
See, wine goes in nature. Like every time we pour a vino in nature, hummingbirds and all kinds of birds come down. They really do. Mm-hmm. I think they smell sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or they're like, hey, what's in that bag?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now I want to go back to Presque Isle because it's swamp
beautiful.
There's swamp areas and then there's lily pads. I'm like, how are you getting snow and ice and all that? It's not going in my brain that way. But I want to go out there and I'd like to, I know this is weird, but I will drink wine at any time of day.
Yeah.
And I need to go sunrise time. But I really love the Noray. This is like some, you know, when suddenly you just zone in on something, like that's my thing. But actually I'd like to go and spend some time at sunrise, but I'd like to have like a bonfire time or whatever on the beach. I'd like that. So I have to do like the sunset to sunrise. I don't know if they'll let me do that with a campfire, but I'm going back to my childhood, you know. And I would like to have Ryan Bingham there because he needs to, like, I haven't played music or guitar or done any of my music for years, you know, traveling. Yeah. But he's a campfire musician in a way, right?
Yeah.
So I think Ryan Bingham would be there and he tells good stories.
And he's also kind of cute.
Oh, man.
See?
I listen to his music on mountain passes that I'm scared. Like, I start sweating, Bob Marley or Ryan. One of them is going to get me up. They saved me in Colorado. Trust me. So, there it is. But thank you, guys. You know, this has been an amazing experience. We've been here, 24 hours? Right? Yeah. 24 hours?
Yeah.
Wow, look how much we've had fun doing.
I know.
Well, thank you. Steve, you've put us all like together on this. He's his own visitor bureau. The visitor bureau, everyone needs to go to the website. Do you know what? Visit Erie.
VisitErie.com.
VisitErie.com because there's a lot downtown. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, this is such a cool place and it feels like you're at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just wouldn't expect this whole wine country right there. It's amazing. So, your website again?
Is courtyardwinery.com.
SpencerHouseBNB.com.
And in case you don't know, it's bigblendradio.com. Thanks, everyone.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better? You really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.